We are talking with Mr. Wallace Jones from CU Members Mortgage today, talking about the latest economic update from kind of a housing mortgage perspective. Isn't that right, Wallace? How's it going?
Absolutely. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. Good. Hey, let's dive right into this, shall we? What's your take on the housing inflation trending lower these days? What's your take on all that?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. You know, we've had, you know, ever since the crisis, really, housing starts have been less than 500,000 a year. Mm-hmm. I think it ramped up a little bit over the last couple of years, but we've still got a shortage out there. And, you know, that obviously causes upward pressure, especially there's not enough housing out there, affordable housing, right, anyway, especially for first-time homebuyers.
Yep.
You know, inflation is of house prices has gone up so much faster than income. So it's not necessarily a bad thing that maybe the little air goes out of the balloon, so to speak, and down a little bit.
Yeah, try living in San Diego and being a first-time homeowner. Oh, my gosh. It's
I'm sure. It's crazy.
It's crazy. Hey, you know, our current government/administration seems to be mired in a bit more chaos than normal these days. How does this kind of state of flux, affect our economy, particularly in the housing sector, or does it?
Yeah, well, you know, chaos, I guess that's a good word for it, but it could. I mean, it certainly could impact housing. I mean, at least in the macro sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you've got some borrowers out there. If there's chaos in the government, or if there's uncertainty in the government, all of a sudden they start, they're not as confident as they used to be. They start perhaps worrying about employment and worrying about income, and they're not likely to step out and buy a house, you know, when they're in that state.
Mm-hmm.
Now, conversely, I will say unemployment's very, very low right now.
Yeah, you're right.
So far it hasn't had that impact on employment. But, you know, again, you always remember those numbers are a little bit skewed. They don't include people that have given up. They're just quit looking for jobs.
Yeah,
they're not
no
longer on the rolls. And then there's a lot of people that have taken jobs. So they're out of those unemployment numbers. But, you know, they've taken jobs that really are beneath their skill level and beneath their income requirements. So they're probably still looking, but they have to take something. So, yeah, it could impact housing.
Yeah, I shouldn't say, you know, our government's in chaos. I mean, anytime you're in Washington, D.C., there's some sort of chaos going on, no matter who's in office. But it just seems like lately it's been a little bit more than normal. But anyway, I digress. Hey, now, what's your take on Fed Chair Janet Yellen's raising rates so the Fed can respond through traditional means if there's kind of an adverse shock to the economy? What's your take on that?
Yeah, well, she certainly has raised short-term rates. You know, it really hasn't had that impact yet on long-term. You know, we're still below 4 on a 30-year fixed rate. So there's a much flatter yield curve right now, a lot closer together, long and short. You know, I think what the Fed is also going to do besides that raising of rates and what they're going to continue to do more is shrink their balance sheet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to be buying as many mortgage-backed securities. They're going to kind of let that run off a little bit. So they're poised if there is another crisis, they can kind of respond the way they did last time. But so far anyway, that upward pressure hasn't really impacted long term.
Any signs of raising rates again another time this year? Or?
Yeah, I think that's probably going to happen later in the year for sure.
Okay. All right. Just to kind of get our ducks in a row here, get our horses ready for the getting out of the stable here. Hey, so that said, it seems that lending is both in auto and home are still quite healthy in the old credit union industry. They seem to be reaping the benefits as well. So is this kind of an anomaly or status quo given the state, what's going on in Washington, D.C. these days?
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's mostly status quo, probably. I mean, again, some of the things we already talked about, there is pent-up demand for housing. There's good interest rates available out there. So I think for the most part, it's a status quo.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to kind of maintain that, I mean, I think credit unions have to do what they've always done. Or what they've been doing especially very well in the last several years, and that's play the trust card. You know, I think consumers are still a little concerned about big banks. You know, they continue to help out credit unions by being in the news in a negative fashion. You know, a lot of fines, a lot of bad negative news, things like that. And certainly consumers want somebody they can trust for a mortgage loan, you know. So I think that needs to be first and foremost. I think they need to continue efforts to get into the purchase market. Some credit unions are outstanding in that, but I think as a general rule, you know, that's not been their strong suit. They've been more responsive to member needs, refinances, things like that. and not aggressively gone after the purchase market. And also perhaps those growing markets, the millennial market you hear about so much, and the Hispanic market. I mean, those are two areas. And by the way, a lot of the Hispanic market has millennials mixed into that, right. But that's the fastest growing, especially first-time homebuyer market out there.
Mm-hmm.
I would encourage credit unions. Believe me, the big banks are really have been ramping up for a number of years to get into the Hispanic market very strongly. I would encourage credit unions to do that. I would encourage them to get involved in NAREP. That's the National Association of Hispanic Real Estate Professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And go to NAREP.org. They've got local chapters. They got national events. And they got a lot of assistance to credit unions, you know, how to do it, you know, what's the best way to market, what's the best way to be position yourself to get into that market.
Yeah, and this is a national thing. This is isn't like in the Southwest or the Southeast where you would think Hispanics would be. It's all over the country now.
It's all over.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it may already be there, but if it's not, they're certainly expecting more than 50% of all first-time homebuyers will be Hispanic over the next 5 to 10 years.
Oh my gosh. Well, there's opportunity for credit unions right there. My gosh.
Absolutely.
And once you get in to that community and they're so tight, it's such a great community that they all word travels fast. And
then absolutely.
Once you're in, you're in.
Right.
Very cool. I'm glad you brought that up. Hey, how can originations double digit growth continue for credit unions, and what must they do to keep this momentum going?
Yeah. And I may have jumped a little ahead to that answer. I mean, I think a lot of what I just said,
yeah.
They really got to get into that purchase market. They've got to get that trust factor going. Just have to have the ability to offer all types of home loans to their members, things like that. You know, they can't just have a very limited base, especially if they're trying to grow that realtor business. Realtors want to be able to say, if I'm going to bring my client to you, I want to be able to do everything,
right.
You know, for get any type of loan. So
it's trust not only with the member, but trust with the realtor as well, it sounds like.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so again, once you get into that community, the realtor community, oh my gosh.
Yeah. If you're in there and you do a good job, you do a good job for that realtor, they're going to tell the next realtor and the next realtor.
Exactly.
So yeah, it'll grow pretty quickly.
Great resource. All right. First mortgages at 40.9% of credit union portfolio as of March 31st, 2017, a new high. That's awesome.
Yeah,
so what does this say about the state of our industry, and should we be more balanced with other items in the portfolio, or what's going on?
Yeah. You know, I think it's great, as you said, that credit unions are certainly focusing on real estate. Great product for them to have.
Mm-hmm.
This may sound a little, balance is important. They obviously have to adhere to what their board direction and the direction of the NCUA and examiners and things like that is keeping that balance. So this may sound a little bit like an oxymoron, but one way to maybe get more balance is to continue to increase that real estate business. And the reason I say that is your best source of additional products to sell is those borrowers that have and those members that have obtained a home loan from the credit union. They're going to trust you with that. Then they're certainly going to trust you with auto loans, with credit cards, with any other products out there that you're wanting to sell. So, I think that's a great way to do it. Now, I would also highly recommend that if the credit union does not have a secondary market outlet, that all they have is portfolio, they get that secondary market outlet, either whether it's selling direct to the agencies, to the Federal Home Loan Bank, or whether it's using an aggregator to have that conduit into the secondary market.
Mm-hmm.
That'll give them those extra products that they don't have, whether it's government, whether it's 97 LTV, or whether it's just something that doesn't fit their profile for portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, the fact that the worst thing they could do would be to get to their max in real estate and then all of a sudden have to say, okay, we're not making home loans right now because we got no more room in our portfolio.
Oh, wow.
They've got to be able to transition and then not tell that member, hey, guess what? You got to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Get that trusted partner and offer home loans.
No doubt. I mean, you think about it. At the minimum, it's a 30-year relationship, and gosh, the opportunities over that 30 years, even with friends and family, so.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Such a great opportunity. All right, Wallace, I'm going to get you off the hot seat here. Last questions. Any other predictions for 2017 to wrap up here?
Well, sure. We talked about a little bit rates going up. I think that's probably likely to happen. Long-term rates, I think, will push over 4, maybe stay there, maybe get up to 5. I don't know, sometime over the next 12 months to 18 months.
Yeah.
short of some economic event that we don't know about right now. So again, I think they've got to continue that that push to make that home loan product very important. You know, and it's going to help them in all areas. Like you say, you get that member with a home loan, they're likely to have that member for life. And you know, not to get too corny here, but you know, the more members they can help obtain that dream, the American dream of home ownership, that's what they want to do. That's a great thing. They get their membership.
Indeed, indeed. Great message to end on. Wallace, thank you so much for taking a few minutes out of your day to chat with us about the latest economic update from kind of the housing perspective. So we appreciate it and look forward to doing it again. All right?
Absolutely. Take care, Mike.
Excellent. Thanks, Wallace.